tu rivelo ablatabo. Odinuvun meseiva deshenim verananim yiyu lehagid yashar Adonai tzuri tzuri velo avla. Adonai Malach Kevut Lavesh Lavesh Adonai Oz Yitazor Afikon Tevel Baltimot Nachon Kisachah Me'az Me'olamot Nasiun Erot Adonai Nase unerot kolam, Yise u neharot dokiam.
That song of the sea, that melody, that ancient melody, the voice of the sea, it's eternal, like the sand and the sea lapping back and forth. Eternal, like God.
Mi kolot ma'im rabi adirim mishpereyam.
Everyone.
Mi kolot
23.
Ma'im rabim adirim mishbereyam
erotecha.
Erotecha ne.
Everyone.
Mi kolot,
the great water.
Ma'im ravim,
the voices.
Adirim mishpereyam.
Yesterday, we observed Yom Kippur collectively. We did the spiritual work of repentance. We apologized to those who we hurt, accepted apologies from those who hurt us, and prayed for renewal. And by the way, as an aside, if you still have anything left to make amends for, you're not too late. Though Yom Kippur is over, our sages teach that the gates of repentance are open to those who pray with a humble heart. Many have commented throughout the ages on how Yom Kippur, in some ways, is like a rehearsal for our death. For that one day, we no longer need to focus in on the physical needs of our bodies, And although there are lots of variations on how we observe, Yom Kippur traditionally is a day on which we don't eat, we don't drink, we spend the entire day in prayer, we wear white, the same color of the traditional burial garb, and over again we recite the vidui, the confessional prayers that are similar to the ones spoken before dying. We spend the whole 25 hours of Yom Kippur focusing in on our internal state. And then, just a few days later, we start Sukkot, one of the three major festivals of the year, as big as Passover, and yet so many of us only focus in on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and don't really bother with Sukkot. We know that we could shake a lulav and etrog, and we know we could come back to the synagogue for more prayers. We know we can eat in a sukkah, but many of us think, I get it. Intellectually, I understand. Basically, we're eating, schmoozing, enjoying the harvest. It's enough for me to understand the purpose of the holiday in my mind. I don't really have to make the effort to celebrate it. And besides, who has room in this crowded concrete city for a sukkah? But Sukkot is actually a part of the High Holy Days, and not celebrating it denies us the full experience of the season. Because Sukkot and Yom Kippur are complementary, like two sides of a coin. Sukkot is like the opposite of Yom Kippur in many ways. On Yom Kippur, we focus in on the state of our souls. On Sukkot, we zoom in on our physical experiences. We cultivate moments to luxuriate in our ability to experience the world through our senses. Sitting in an open sukkah, the breeze blowing over us, the sun and stars visible above us, the plentiful food around us, the smell of the etrog. We dance with the lulav, we sing and we talk with those around us. Sukkot gives us an opportunity to tap into our joy. It is known as Zaman Simchatenu, the time of our joy, based on a verse from Leviticus. You shall take the beautiful tree, fruit of the tree, a palm branch, myrtle twigs, and willow, and rejoice before Adonai, your God, for 7 days. A midrash tells us that we wave the lulav to show that the earth is dancing, alive, and singing God's praise. As we just sang tonight in Psalm 96, then the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Over Sukkot, we animate this. By shaking the lulav and etrog, we perform a kind of dance. Beloved Hasidic master Nachman of Breslov, who struggled with depression, spoke about how dance can transform sadness into joy. He said, if you stand on the sidelines in a room full of people dancing, feeling too downcast to join in, but if one of the dancers pulls you into the circle, you will start to move with the others. You may still notice your sadness there, standing on the side, looking somewhat disapprovingly at your dancing, just waiting for you to stumble or feel self-conscious. But the real task is to bring that sadness itself into the circle and make it dance, to see that it too can be transformed into joy. We don't always recognize joy. The English word happy shares the same root as the words haphazard, hapless, and happenstance, and implies momentary events that happen by chance. Yet joy is a more profound emotion than happiness. True joy isn't fleeting at all. It's not about a transient good feeling. Rather, joy comes from living in alignment with our hearts. We spent all of Yom Kippur working towards teshuva, turning back to our truest selves. And as a result, just like the sukkah structure itself, we are much more open, much more able to be vulnerable to experiencing life at its fullest. This is the perfect opportunity to use our vulnerability, allowing it to open our hearts to be available for joy. The psalmist tells us, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And in a way, we have sown our tears over Yom Kippur. We reflected upon our misdeeds and we took an accounting of our souls. Sukkot is a time of the harvest, and we harvest the fruits of our labor of soul searching. In the wake of Yom Kippur, we have cleared out the clutter of regret and opened ourselves to being present in the moment, making ourselves available to the joy around us. We open ourselves to the wonder and beauty of the world and our ability to engage with it through our physical being, which can be a spiritual experience. As Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of their life. May we access the unique joy of this season. Shabbat Shalom and an upcoming Chag Sameach. And we continue with the Baruch Hu on page 146, and we rise.